So I received an email from a listener. She said that she is embarrassed and she feels like a fraud because she's a licensed therapy. She's a licensed therapist and she doesn't have a theory. She doesn't adhere to a theoretical orientation. She said she didn't really understand theory very well. She asked me not to provide her name on the podcast, so I won't do that. I'm guessing it's because she feels quite ashamed of this. That's what she indicated. And I just want to say from the onset that you should not be ashamed of that, because I think that there are a lot of people that are in the same shoes as you are. She says, again, she feels like a fraud. She says, I haven't a clue about what theory I am best suited for. She says she doesn't know how to choose or commit to a theory. She doesn't know even if it's necessary. She wonders if it's common that people feel this way. She says she finds herself wondering if it's her fault that she doesn't adhere to a theory, or if it's a fault of her graduate program or of her supervisors or due to the work that she does. And so in this episode, I'm going to talk about all of that. Welcome to the Psychology in Seattle podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Kirk Honda. I'm a licensed therapist and a professor. It's just me today. I'm not basing this on any notes. I'm just going to talk off the top of my head. So we'll see where this goes. So the first thing I'll say is that there's nothing to be ashamed of if you're a therapist and you don't have a theory that you're following. It's a concern that I would address, but I wouldn't blame yourself or have any shame, because you're not alone. When I started out, and I would say a lot of therapists were similar to me, we're not instructed very well. We weren't supervised very well. The thing that I see happening a lot is in training programs, there's so much to train therapists on that theory gets pushed to the side. Because when someone lacks a theory, it's not obvious that they have a loose grasp on theory. Whereas if they have loose ethics or they have loose listening skills, then it's pretty obvious that they need to address that. So there's that. And I think because of that reason, a lot of instructors, a lot of training programs really drop the ball when it comes to preparing their students regarding theory. The other factor is that there are a lot of theories to instruct about. And unless the training program focuses on one or two theories, which some training programs do, then you end up teaching all of your students about all the theories in a very shallow manner, in a way that doesn't stick with the students very well. And those other programs that actually focus on one theory or another, the students actually graduate with a pretty good beginning grasp of that theory. But that is, of course, at the expense of learning all the other theories, which there are many. The program that I teach in, incidentally, we're the sort of program where we teach all the theories. And so I have taken it upon myself as an instructor to try to graduate students that actually have some confidence in theory. And then I try to supervise postgrads on theory as well. So why is it so hard for therapists to decide on a theory and to know theory? Well, to get into some of the numbers, there are, I've heard, 400 plus different theories that are out there. 400 plus. So psychoanalysis is one of those. Cognitive therapy is one of those. And if you add up the list, you have 400 of these theories, and more keep getting added to the pile because more authors, more researchers keep adding. So you can understand that it would be difficult to understand theory very well when you have that many. Plus, each one of those theories can be quite complex. Cognitive therapy is pretty easy, but something like psychoanalysis, I've been studying psychoanalysis and psychodynamic theory for my entire career of almost 20 years now, and I feel like I'm just barely scraping the surface. And so there are some theories that you could spend your entire life trying to understand and you still will barely get it. And other theories are just really difficult to grasp because of the ways that humans or Americans tend to think. Like systems theory is actually really counter to the way that people normally think, and therefore it's not only hard to grasp at first, but it's hard to hold on to. as a systemic thinker myself, our program is a family therapy program, and so we teach systems theory. And I continually have to remind myself what systems theory is because I lose it every now and then. And over the past 20 years, I've become more accustomed to remind, it doesn't take me as long to remind myself what the theory entails and how to embody that. But in the beginning, it was hard. And in the beginning, I was an instructor. I've been teaching for 15, 16, 17 years now. And when I, for the first, 10 years of being an instructor, I would sometimes lose the ability to comprehend systems thinking. And so to expect a student to understand it after taking systems theory class just for one quarter is really a tall request. It's really unreasonable. The thing that I tell my postgrad people is that if you want to be confident in theory and if you want to be the best therapist that you can be, you really have to become proficient in theory, not only in understanding it, but in being able to apply it. And in order to do that, you really have to take it upon yourself to learn it. 99.9%, and I'm not exaggerating, 99.9% of what I know about theory, I taught myself. I've certainly taken a lot of courses on theory, but those courses just give you a general idea of what the theory is. And depending on how good the instructor is, you could learn next to nothing because they're terrible at instructing it. A good instructor will give you a very brief summary of what the theory is. It's up to you to read, to think, to apply, to see the results with the clients, to talk with other clinicians, to read the research. It's up to you to do all that. You can't expect someone to download a theory into your brain like in the Matrix or something. And that's the attitude I seem to get from a lot of students and a lot of therapists. They expect theory to happen to them. And that is just not my experience. You have to take an active role in acquiring that knowledge. Now, what I'll say is once you become somewhat proficient at absorbing this knowledge, it can actually feel quite gratifying. I think when I was in my early career, it was hard for me to learn theory because I was a bit resistant to it because I was not very good at it. And I felt very confused and I felt very stupid as I read a lot of the material. But as I progressed through my career and became more confident, I started to absorb it better. And now I actually like reading about theory. It actually is pleasurable to me. It feels, it feels good to, acquire knowledge, but it also feels good to see confirmation among other writers about what I am doing as a therapist. I'll have a notion in my mind that something is good for clients. And then when I read about it, I say, oh yeah, that this person is articulating well and citing research that supports what I am doing. Okay, now I feel better about myself that I'm actually doing something that's supported and that is somewhat of a standard among some professionals. So I encourage you out there, if you don't have a very good grasp on theory, to continue trying to acquire and hopefully this podcast will further that, because I'll get into specific theories in a second. Hey, deserving listeners, this is an old episode that we have re-released as a patron-exclusive episode. So if you want to hear the full episode, you have to become a patron of the podcast by going to patreon.com. Patrons get access to all the premium episodes on the Patreon page and on their phone podcast application, or app, as they call them. When you become a patron, we'll let you know how to access the premium feed on your phone. And remember that 20% of your monthly pledge goes towards various charities that we support.